You should be speaker. Yeah. There we go. Alrighty. Looks like it's going to pour down rain here. It's like really, really super dark.
We just got over a drought up here in Ohio. Was it
Yeah,
20
well,
days? 20 days?
I noticed driving up to see my son the other day that all the roadside grass is like a brownish yellowish. It's usually like lush, super green, but this is kind of a brownish, yellowish, like, and I thought, oh.
So you had sort of a drought there somewhat?
I mean, I
We have.
guess
Yeah,
it,
we have. But
yeah.
it's supposed to give spark raining tomorrow.
Oh, okay.
Tomorrow and tomorrow night and then Thursday. We're supposed to get quite a bit of rain.
Because it seemed like there for a while it was just pouring down rain like all the time. Every day it was raining here. And
Yeah, we
then
did have a
on. And you have to think that if the grass were to identify with a mind and all the rain, and it'd be like, oh no, our roots are gonna, you know, if it keeps raining, our roots are gonna pull out and this and that, and what are we gonna do? And then all of a sudden it stops raining, and it's like, oh my God, will we ever get water again? It's just like it's never going to stop, and you know, I'm so depressed today, and
That sounds silly, but we do it.
exactly.
A few days.
Exactly.
But John, you don't do it, I know.
Yeah.
It's just because there's not anything to.
Nobody
Yeah,
there.
there's no place that can say, I'm having this experience of this happening. It's just that it would be observed that it's raining. It would be observed that, just like driving up to Frederick, I didn't even label it drought. I noticed.
Got it, got it.
Naturally noticed that the grass was very green, and then but or you know, it used to be very green and now it's like a brownish yellowish.
And you're not going to cry tears over that because you're not attached to it.
Yes.
Exactly. And I mean, there's nothing really, because it's literally just scenes. Like, okay, now it's raining. Rain, of course, body-based experience, rain requires umbrella. So go get an umbrella because it's raining. Don't want to get wet. And yet not getting wet is as a preference, you could say, a body-based preference, but it's just a natural thing. You don't want to be soaking wet, so you take an umbrella. And I think Nisargadatta actually talks about that. If it's raining, bring an umbrella. If it's sunny, maybe you wear a hat. So it's like these are just, there's no thought process or identification needed to say umbrella or hat, or I should put a winter coat on when it's cold outside, or any of these. You know yourself in a real sense, and yeah, it's an illusory world, but with the body-based experience of existence, you need to take care of the body. Just again, like your car, you know, You don't drive your car through the desert and such and think, oh, nothing bad will happen. You know, I'm driving, it's 120 degrees, and my car will just be fine. I mean, nowadays, some modern cars probably would be fine, but it will break down. And if you go to the beach, for instance, and you're not washing your car, then the salt can build up and all these sort of things. So it's just like this five elemental body. You take it for a wash, we call it a shower. Take it to the gas station, we call it eating dinner, lunch, breakfast, whatever.
So it's only if we're attached to the idea of being an own self, like an own limited self that has to deal with all this stuff, and that's the only way we can be really negative and
Of
say,
course.
I don't have to. Why should I have to take care of all this stuff?
Exactly. When you have that hook of I to hang something on, then you're hanging things on that I, and then you complain that this hook of I is bogged down because you keep hanging things on it. And it's not necessary because this I hook is actually illusory. It'll just fade away by itself if you stop trying to hang things on it by identification with a body form.
Sort of like a sore will heal itself too.
Yeah, I mean it's a natural process in the womb, and Nisargadatta Maharaj uses this example all the time about the in the womb, who was checking to make sure your hands were forming properly, and who was making all these things in your heart and all the internal and all this kind of stuff. And then you come out of the womb and you're like, oh my goodness, now I have to start fending for myself, you know? But the same process, the same self that took care of you in the womb, the body was growing and doing as it is the same here. It's just because of identification with the body that we assume, oh, I have to do all these things and I have to make sure I survive and I have to do all this and that. And it's just not true.
And if it's the same for everybody, that everybody has to deal with things. If it's the same for everybody, then it's not really an individual thing that you're stuck with. It's not
Well,
localized, really.
think about tonight in your dream. Let's say when you enter your dream and you assume this dream body, that the other dream characters say, in the world you're in now, we all have to wear purple coats. Otherwise, like some tragedy will happen. And you don't know it's a dream. You're popped in, you're in this body. Everybody says you have to wear a purple coat. Otherwise, something terrible will happen to you. So you wind up wearing a purple coat. You've taken on the concepts due to the fact that people, and you see other people wearing purple coats, they tell you it's very important to wear a purple coat. When you wake up, you know, what the hell? Well, why were we all wearing purple coats? I never even knew why we were wearing purple coats. And it's the same with any concept here in the body-based existence.
It's an assumed illusion.
Yep, from a wrong perspective of I am a body. That's why the Maharaj says all the memories, all the activities, all the knowledge was false because it came from the false perspective, I am a body. I have relations because I believe I'm a body. In reality, all are my own self. And when I don't have a body, then all these bodies occur within my own self. Because I'm no longer limiting myself to one specific body through identification as I am this.
I noticed something today was if I start becoming aware that nothing is my own, really, that I or if I become aware of this is what I've been struggling to become aware with all this time, it won't necessarily change my actions, but it will change my sense of attachment. That's what I noticed.
Well, the actions become spontaneous actions. And they're not really thought about as actions. You know, just even TV watching.
That's
Okay,
what I
you
mean,
watch some TV?
no attachment.
You're watching some TV? When they say, oh, your program won't be on this week, it's coming in 2 weeks, or that we're taking a summer break or whatever, you don't like, oh my God, no. But yet it's something that when it comes back on, you'll sit and you'll watch. But it's just a.
But if you think that that TV show, that your ability to feel good depends on the TV show,
That
then you will get upset.
would be identification,
Yeah, that's
definitely.
identification and attachment.
Both with you and outside in stimulus of somehow providing you're the source of happiness, and now you're trying to get happiness from an external source due to the fact that you believe you're a body and you're perceiving yourself as unhappy in some way. You require happiness. Because to sit there and say, I have to be happy, is natural that you're stating that your current state is unhappiness. And with the body-based existence, if you're identified with a body, there will be unhappiness. Like we just talked about the grass. If the grass was able to think and identified itself as this is me, then it's going to have unhappiness and happiness. Because anytime you have this dualistic existence or this concept of I exist, then you're going to have this dualistic thinking. Happiness, sadness, pain, pleasure, because of identification. When you're not identified with anything as yourself, where would these concepts hang? They cannot hang. There are moments, and you're experiencing various moments as they're arising, and then leaving them, just like pick up the water, drink the water, put it back down. Each moment like this.
So it's not I've been seeming it seems a lot of stuff seems sometimes it seems that certain concepts are more liberating than other concepts. Like, okay, I could say some of my concepts are attached to assumptions and they're not going to be liberating. And some of my concepts are not attached to assumptions, so those would be more liberating concepts, but still, either way, you're
The
still
root.
objectifying either way of and then you're attaching a value to the two different ways,
The
possible ways.
root is you. You don't have to worry about any other concept except who am I? I'm not this body. I was not this body. I'm not going to ever remain this body. We see this. So who am I? I'm not the body. All body-based concepts don't apply to myself. And then I sit for meditation and I sit quietly and I can identify for a time for this sense of presence, this very peaceful feeling. And then after a time, it's like, oh, it's not even this peaceful feeling, this sense of presence. There's, because I know this is not myself, it's a known thing. And so now that's discarded. But this concept, no concept, if you do not have an identity as this body, where would concepts be? So getting rid of concepts is not really like if you try to get rid of all concepts. Let's say I have a concept I can fly. So I jump and I fall and I break my leg. And other concepts that were built on this concept I can fly, such as wouldn't it be nice to fly to India? All those are immediately eliminated with the concept, I can't fly. So now you have this concept, I am a body. And once you eliminate that concept, I am a body through investigation, not jumping, but through investigation, all those concepts that were related with that body just are dissolved. In the
So
I can fly example, you say, oh, fly fast, fly slow. How long can you fly? How long can you stay flying? Do you have to rest after flying? You jump, oh, I can't fly. So all of those possible mind-created what ifs are finished in one moment.
you said you end up discarding like a sense of that would be like I think you were discarding a sense of like bliss or something, a sense of
You're discarding everything just by knowing yourself in a real sense.
Then where does that leave you? What does that feel like, or what's the
But
experience?
that's why our lineage is direct. Maharaj always says it's direct. We don't go round and round about, like,
Yes.
getting rid of your karma or doing bhakti, all these sort of things. We don't do all this. It's direct. And how is it direct? You notice your selfless self. You remain with your selfless self through the meditation. Oh, so that I am that. That's what kills all concepts. Because when you know yourself, there's no doubt.
It's like undefinable at that point, right? It's like,
Well, so anything that can be defined has nothing to do with your own self.
that's why they call it formless. It's undefinable, I guess.
Exactly. Without attributes. Even formless is kind of a strange thing, because then you're going to try and create a concept of formlessness, which is like, there's no word you can use that the mind will not try to create a concept to try and relate and understand. And that's why Maharaj says we use words just for understanding. Or you take one thorn and you pull out another thorn, then you throw both thorns away. If you pull out the thorn and you keep the thorn that you used, you still have a thorn. It's just a different thorn. And that's why when the people were talking to Maharaj about putting the beads and doing all the ceremony and the naming ceremonies and all this sort of stuff that some of the body-based gurus will do, you're just creating more concepts. Now I'm Guru Mani or something like this, I instead of this, and this is my spiritual identity, but I still have an identity. But no identity can be you. Even formlessness cannot really be you, because formlessness, when did you find out? And Maharaj, this, I love this thing. Every time anybody gets too deep into the concepts, it's like, when did you come along with formlessness? When you came along with the body, you knew formlessness. So prior to beingness, did you know anything about formlessness? No. So it's concept and it can be removed. All concepts, sticky concepts stuck to the body. And when you stop identifying as a body, poof, they have nowhere to stick.
That just leaves you like open and surfing on whatever happens. Yes.
Well, that's how you actually are, but behind the scenes, you're identifying with a mind flow, a flow of thoughts, because of identification with the body. The reality is, this is the reality. Like, whether you're thinking about what's happening, you are not changing anything from happening. So, whether you think you are or you aren't, when you know yourself in a real sense, there's no thinking, I'm a doer. Yes, I have this body. And yes, in this moment, I have to do my job, do my duties, all this sort of stuff. Until the body's no longer available, I utilize the body. And then when the body is no longer able to sustain the essence, and Nisargadatta Maharaj says it like passing a stool. When the body is no longer able to sustain the essence, okay, bloop, bye-bye. But
Yeah.
you're not dying. You're not going anywhere. There's no struggle. There's no strife. That's why on your deathbed, this is the wrong time to try and do spirituality. You say, well, I took the mantra from Maharaj years ago, and then I got back into my own life. But now the doctor is putting me in the hospice, and I need to like start the mantra and know myself so I have no fear of dying. What? Know yourself in a real sense in this moment. And if you don't know
Yes.
yourself in a real sense in this moment, there is nothing more important for you to do than to know yourself in a real sense in this moment.
So you don't make yourself feel all these gyrations.
Yeah, I mean, there should be no concept, I am dying. Because well, okay, the body's not going to be here anymore, but where in the world could I possibly go if the entire world is inside myself? Like,
Exactly.
Where? Like, go where?
We have a limited assumption of what knowing the presence is. So we don't recognize what you're saying.
Presence is that sense, just die, just die. I'm sure everyone who's ever tried meditation ever has felt that very, very subtle sense, just die, just die. And that, okay. Now, as the meditation has become more, you identify with the sense of presence as yourself. And then again, like Nisargadatta Maharaj says, the door to the I am on one side is the world, and on one side
Correct.
is the reality. The
Yes.
I am is the door. So when I'm sitting there staring at that sense of presence, that just I feeling, I know on the other side of this, one side of this is I exist and the world. The other side is, oh, so that I am that. More subtle than the sense of presence. And on that sense of presence, the entire world has appeared. So I need not worry about the world because it's an appearance on presence. And seemingly, I don't even need to worry about whether the presence is there or not there because I'm perceiving the presence. I know the presence, and that's the first knowingness.
Yes.
So, okay. Well, now while I'm using this body, I'll do my job, do my duties. I'll go to the grocery store and continue about my life as it was always, because I now know that there was no separate autonomous being trying to create something or do something or whatever. So I just do what's right in front of me. And then when the doctor finally says, well, tonight will be your last night, I'll say, oh, okay, thank you very much, and eat my food or whatever I'm doing, or maybe I'm in tubes, who knows? And that's it. Then no longer experiencing from the sense of being a John in a world, this telescope will no longer be available to the formless presence to see inside the illusion. And yet, as we all know, when we attend funeral, the presence is still having all the other telescopes that's viewing the one dead body and saying, oh, this poor soul, he died. I hope he goes to a good place. Well, he did. He's in you, and he's in you, and he's in you, and he's in you, and he never left. And there never was an individual that died. There's a
So,
form, there's a five elemental body that the formlessness is no longer able to kind of move about because it has decayed, or it has decayed. It can no longer sustain the essence. And yet the other body's around looking at that body and saying how we miss this person and we hope he's in a better place or she's in a better place. These bodies, these lumps of goo are still able to sustain the essence. And when they can't, there will be children, and not because the body is a body-based factory. So you get together, and two bodies make another body, and two bodies make another body, and bodies, and bodies, and bodies, and bodies. So this will be continuous because it's a long dream. But your dream is over. This dream, I am John, it wasn't true. Now you've woken up.
because sometimes I get a sense of myself being in everything, and it's sort of—it's not like it is like a subtle thing. Is there's no, it's not like I know this. It's just like it's like a direct perception of self being
Yeah.
within other beings or something, and.
Well, in the very beginning, I think I've spoken about this before. I used to love, like, even going to Starbucks and looking in someone's eyes, and you could feel the recognition and the projection that behind these eyes is presence. Like, at that time, I thought it was like God or God being in my concept again was that it was God who had created this kind of three-dimensional dream type existence, and I was recognizing God behind the eyes and ears of everyone, and it was for me to like learn and grow and all this sort of stuff, and that's where it had started. This was prior to seeing Maharaj, but this was kind of the building blocks of initial concepts. Of course, they had to be let go, But these were the initial building blocks of the concepts until I started reading, like, I Am That and all this other, Master of Self-Realization, going and seeing Maharaj. But yeah, I mean, you can look in the eyes of anyone, and there's a, that's why they say that looking in someone's eyes is a very intimate thing, because there's a recognition in the projection. There's a presence. And if you're, like, when you see Maharaj face to face, you'll feel that pull. Because from one perspective, there's nothing like grabbing. There's no eyes that are trying to get anything. So you're looking basically deeply into your own self, and you sense that. That recce, even in the ashram, that was profound. Bowing to pictures of the master in the various forms of our lineage, it was like the picture was alive. There was a power and an energy in the picture. And when you bowed to it, and I spoke about that with Maharaj, it was like a recognition in the projection. That's the only thing I could call it. Was like a just a pull, and it was so like
it's I think I've actually had that experience on drugs before, an LSD, and
all right.
And it's surreal. It is a surrealistic, but I've also had it not on LSD, so
there you go.
So that's where I recognize that I did have it on LSD, a couple of times. But
children at home listening, don't do LSD
good,
to have
yeah,
a spiritual
it's good,
experience.
It's good
Just
to be
remain
able to,
with your selfless self. Do meditation.
Do it without LSD. That's the great thing is we can now learn to do this through our lineage without drugs.
Absolutely.
The feeling is really just as much loving and as any drug.
Well, and a lot of the whole concept of these various drugs was to kind of get you into a higher state of consciousness by freeing your mind from any of these body-based impressions. But you can do this without the use of drugs.
Right.
Because the drugs are a limited experience, temporary experience.
Right.
Unless you're on LSD all the time, you're going to have ups and downs and all of this.
But what
if
about, yeah, what about the fact that in my normally limited mind where I keep identifying and then I don't identify for a while, then I do identify for a while. It seems to be that the non-identifying state is a temporary state because it comes and goes.
No,
it,
the
it seems like
identification state is the one that's
yeah.
being released.
Yeah, yeah. So
and
it's
then there's something
going.
In you that desires to hold on to this that's not true. That's why Maharaj says you have to have courage. Courage to accept the reality. When you're saying you're going back and forth, it's the knowingness knowing nothing other than that sense of presence or the sense of existence. The knowingness knowing nothing. And then your identification with the mind, which is, of course, the flow of thoughts is like a terror of a death. I know nothing, but there's nothing to know, and yet I'm still here. But then the mind is like a useless thing. So you have that vestige, and that's why Maharaj says when you fall into the ditch, and falling into the ditch is then re-identification because you're going along with the flow of thoughts that, uh-oh. That's why a lot of people, when they meditate, they'll come to like this wall where they're kind of sensing a nothingness and freak out because it's like, oh, I don't want to go. I don't want to just disappear into a void. But then there's a subtle part of you that will understand, but I'm seeing this void. I'm perceiving this void. Therefore, the void, whether it's there or not, I am. And in this kind of moment, you sort of push through. Again, it's conceptual. But you sort of push through, and then it's like, oh, because you're no longer using the mind. See, mind came along with the body, so it can only present thoughts and ideas and things to you while you're sitting here viewing it, basically, of body.
Imaginary.
Yeah, the mind can't present reality because it doesn't know reality. You can't have any thoughts about reality because the thinking process came along with the body and you're prior to that. You can only have a direct experience of your own self. And yes, you can directly experience yourself while using this body as the instrument to know yourself. And then you don't worry about whether the body's here or not here. And yet, you can take care of it. And then there's no problem in spirituality of like, oh, well, John's not very spiritual. He goes to movies and goes bowling. And if he knew he wasn't a body, he would just sit and like meditate all day long. No. You know yourself in a real sense. You just do all your daily activities. But you're not taking the touch of the, you know, it's not a
So if I get this established, then I won't give people the finger anymore.
Well, you may. I
Yeah.
mean, who knows? Spontaneous in the moment? Who knows?
I guess.
But it would be a fast thing and finished. Like, there may be
Yeah.
irritation. There could be some irritation, but it's not like a
You
rooted irritation.
never know what
And
the body is going to do and what's going to happen to the body. So.
exactly, a disturbance in the five elements.
Yeah.
A disturbance in the five elements. And this body does age and will decay, but you are there's no way you can age. That's why, if at all you want to compare, you compare yourself to sky or space. How is the sky or space aging? The space is the same space that the dinosaurs roamed around in. I'm not a big scholar, but like 6 million years ago or whatever, the dinosaurs were roaming around the earth in the same space. The space has not changed. And that's why it's like, okay, who was here? And that's why in the Bible, Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. Because I am. I never am not. Because that doesn't even make sense.
Amazing that that our teachings is the same as Jesus.
Yeah, once you know yourself in a real sense, and I think it was I forget which one of the masters said that after, I think it was Nisargadatta, he said he had bought a book and was totally stumped, like just couldn't read it. And then after he came back from seeing Siddharameshwar Maharaj, in just a few short months, he was able to speak about the book and the concepts in the book easily and freely, and even recognize that a lot of the parts of the book were conceptual. Because when you know yourself in a real sense, it opens the key because nothing is. Nothing's real and nothing's false. And you that you are, in all the various forms, wrote down the various stages of this experience of knowing your own self through whatever particular body you were using in the moment that you said, oh, I am not body. And you began to write using that body form. And that's why we have all the spiritual libraries and all the everything. It's a breadcrumbs back to your own self through all the other bodies that we're recognizing, I am not body.
And you are helping us sort this out, basically.
You are helping you
Yeah.
sort this out because there is only you. There is no other.
Yeah.